So today we'll continue with Discouragement and Depression, Part 7. Part 7 is titled Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi. We are continuing our examination in the lessons and the insights that God has provided for us to glean when he begins to work directly with individuals who are suffering discouragement and depression. When God decides that he is going to work directly with an individual who's going through discouragement, who's going through depression, who's going through grief, or any other item, when we can look in scripture and see how God, the Father, and Jesus Christ worked with those individuals, it is amazing how much information is there. We looked at Moses and Paul and the children of Israel in the past in part 6 of this series. We examine insights that can be gained from Joshua and Achan. And today we'll continue with part 7, Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. And again, when God is working in the lives of women and men, there is always a tremendous amount to learn. The history recorded in the book of Ruth regarding Ruth and Naomi is particularly relevant when discussing the topic of discouragement and depression. There is so much here to consider. There is a wealth of instruction. There is a wealth of correction, strength, and encouragement in this book regarding discouragement and depression. I have several points that we'll go through today, but I've also haven't covered everything. I again, however, want to stress from the beginning that we are looking at spiritual arrows in our spiritual quiver. Not an exact match for your specific situation, but spiritual insight as brought out through the inspiration of God. It's very important that we remember that. That when we read through scripture and see how God is working with individuals, we can't pull something out and says, that's exactly my situation. No, God wants us to glean the information from the Bible and then add them to our spiritual quiver and apply those to our situation. Because how those things work out in our lives may be very different from how they worked out in the lives of those in the Bible. So it won't necessarily be an exact match, but spiritual insight brought out through the inspiration of God. It also is valuable for me to remind us of what it says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. As we did last time, 2 Timothy 3, 16 simply says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. There is not a problem, there is not a situation, there is not a circumstance that we can face in this life that we cannot gain instruction, correction, reproof, righteousness from God's word. It is all there. We may have to dig to see it. We may have to have counsel to have it brought to the surface, but it is all there. Any problem, any situation, any depression, any discouragement, the answer is in God's word. It is in God's word. God provides many people, many circumstances, even medications, as we talked in the past, to help us along that process. But that's in God's word too. That's in God's word too. So today we want to look at the book of Ruth. We want to look at the book of Ruth. So let's get started. Turn with me over to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. So the primary reason for Elimelech and his family leaving Judah and going to Moab was because of famine in Judah. There was a great famine there. And they were rich enough and wealthy enough that when this famine came, they had the ability to pick up and move elsewhere. It's no different than us. If suddenly here in Florida, weather patterns changed, the crops began to dry up, jobs began to go away, guess what? If you had the means, you have the ability to move further north or to go west, you're going to take your resources and move. And that was the case for Elimelech. He had the ability to move his family to a better circumstance than dealing with the famine there in Bethlehem, and he decided to do so. And when he went out, the people were very happy for him. They were cheering for him. They looked forward to his return. He was a very loved man, a very loved family. They were rich and wealthy enough, had the finances and the wherewithal to pick up and move and begin a new life. And they went out with very, very high hopes. But those hopes soon turned to disaster. They soon turned to hopelessness for Naomi, Elimelech's wife. Verse 3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now, with two sons to take care of her, or at this point in time, her taking care of these two sons, was difficult. This was a challenge. Can you imagine? She suddenly is foisted into a position where she has to manage the money, manage the finances, decide where they need to live. She has to raise up these two young boys. A major trial, major depression. But she had to do it. She figured, no, I can do this. I have to do this. I don't have any choice but to do this. She had to make it happen. And as the years went on, her sons grew to the age when they were married. Success. Success. Verse 4. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt about 10 years. So for 10 years, things looked pretty positive for the family. 10 years. They seemed to be living with or living very close together as a family. Her sons, her daughter-in-law, she's somewhere nearby, possibly on the same land or possibly in the same household, a large house. She also seems to have a wonderful relationship with her daughters-in-law. What a blessing. That doesn't always happen. She has a wonderful relationship with her daughters-in-law. They're happy that she's with them. They're living life. Life is moving forward. And then disaster strikes again in a very painful, in a very devastating way. Verse 5. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Can you imagine the depressive state that Naomi is experiencing? She lost her husband. She found the strength to pull together enough of whatever she had to do to raise these two young boys up, to get them to the age where they are married. She's looking forward, I'm sure, to children, grandchildren, and suddenly her loving two sons die. Tremendous depression. Family, life has its twists and its turns. Life has its twists and its turns. You can jot down Matthew 5, verse 45. Matthew 5, verse 45 reminds us of this. For he, speaking of Jesus Christ and God the Father, makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. We don't like it when the rains come. We would rather the sunshine be around us all the time. We don't want to deal with the rains of life. But God says a part of the process of us being formed a part of the process of us being shaped into the sons and daughters of God is to deal both with sunshine and rain. Sometimes God allows the rains to come. The rains. The book of Ruth provides instruction in dealing with rain. Dealing with discouragement, dealing with depression in the midst of rain. In the midst of rain. Let's continue with verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people back in Bethlehem, Judah, by giving them bread. So here she is in Moab trying to figure it out, trying to pull things together, trying to keep things together. She hears that the famine has been lifted in Bethlehem, Judah. So she says, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to go back home. Verse 7. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Again, notice for Naomi, that in the midst of her depression, she rose up. She did get up. But as we shall see, after taking her groanings to God, as we talked about in part 6, after taking her groanings to God and getting up, what Naomi did not do is sanctify herself. Remember, to sanctify yourself is to draw close to God. She got up. She said, this circumstance, I need to do something. I need to get up. She got up and decided to move back to Bethlehem, Judah. But what she didn't do was to sanctify herself by drawing close to God. Rather, because of this great depression that she was undergoing, she sat back down. Do you understand that? Can you empathize with her? Sometimes the depression that we go through is so heavy, such a burden, that when we try to get up, we don't have enough strength to stand up and to stay up, and we just sit back down. This is Naomi. She doesn't have the strength to stay in on her own. Verse 8. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deals kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Note that Naomi expresses no hope at all for herself. She doesn't express any hope for herself. She expresses hope for her daughters-in-law. She has the ability to see that her and hope and pray that her daughter-in-laws will move forward, but she expresses no hope for herself. She has given up. But in giving up, she does thank them for their love and support. But she has given up on herself. But she does thank them. Point number one, we're going to have several points that we go through this. So point number one, amid depression and discouragement, point number one, thank those who have helped you or are helping you. When you're going through discouragement and depression, even if you are down, even if you don't have the strength to stand up, even if you don't have the strength to draw close to God as you should, find the strength. Point number one, to thank those who have helped or are helping you. There are these little nuggets of understanding that we want to keep in mind when dealing with the difficulties resulting in discouragement and depression in the midst of the rains. One of the things that Naomi does do is to thank those who were helping her, regardless of how she felt and the situation that she now found herself in. She tells her two daughters-in-law that they had dealt kindly with her husband, with her, and with her sons, their husbands. What a beautiful thing for a mother-in-law to acknowledge during her trial. Beautiful. What a wonderful thing for a mother or a father to say to a daughter or to a son that may be sacrificing their own life's satisfaction to care for them when they're elderly. Sometimes we don't give our children enough thanks when they are helping us out in our elderly stages of life. When we are facing depression, try to acknowledge those who have helped or are currently helping you. Doing so not only gives them the strength and willingness to continue to provide the aid, but it helps you as a depressed to maintain a balance with reality that life is going to continue to move forward. Life is going to move forward. Verse 9, continue here in verse 9. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Verse 10, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. You see, thanking others, even in the midst of depression, creates a deeper bond with them. They want to do more for them. They want to draw closer to Naomi. When we are discouraged and depressed, point number two, which Naomi does, as we'll see in verse 11, point number two is this. Acknowledge the sufferings of others. When we are discouraged and depressed, point number two is that we need to acknowledge the sufferings of others. Verse 11. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for now I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight should bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You see, it helps to acknowledge the pain and the suffering and difficulties of others while we're in the midst of our own pain, while we're in the midst of our own suffering. And that's what Naomi is still able to do. Even though she's down, she is able to acknowledge the pain and the suffering of her daughters-in-law. That's something that we have to try to do. When we're down, even though we may be in the depths of depression, we need to keep our eyes open, keep our mind open, and understand that there's other people who are going through difficult times too. And she does that. She does that. Naomi is able to do exactly that. She doesn't minimize the pain that she is going through herself. She doesn't minimize her own condition. She says, I am being vexed. This is tough on me. I'm in a bad place. But I understand, daughters, that you're in a bad place too. She acknowledges that her daughters-in-law are in pain, and she's able to look down the road into their future to help them to make wise decisions in the midst of their suffering. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voices, and they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Point number three, pray that God provides you, the depressed, with those who are willing to see you through. Pray that God provides you when you are depressed with those who are willing to see you through. Someone that's willing to cling to you, to stay with you, to hold your hand, to tell you that it's going to be all right. Pray that God provides you, point number three, the depressed, with those who are willing to see you through. Verse 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Just go back with them. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. It is very humbling and corrective to read those words and to contemplate them. Ruth has said, there's nothing. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to cling with you. I'm going to stay with you. When we think about this, we can see the graciousness of God in creating the marriage institution. The marriage institution. The marriage institution is a great institution that God provides mankind to fulfill the purpose of having someone never leave you, never forsake you, to see you through whatever life brings, this institution of marriage. It is said that mankind in general, both in the church and out of the church, has devalued the holy institution of marriage. It's very sad that that has taken place. Unfortunately, it's the reality of this life. Unfortunately, in this society, relationships have devolved from what can I give, what can I sacrifice, what can I forego, to what can I get, what can I appropriate, what can I keep. And we want to get, appropriate, and return and retain things based on our terms. How much depression, how much discouragement could be lifted right from within the walls of a household if the words of Ruth were how we gave, how we lived within the household as husbands and wives, or as parents and children? How much discouragement, how much depression exists because we too often want to give on our terms, get on our terms, receive on our terms, love on our terms, and be loved on our terms, our terms. Even more than a daughter-in-law saying these words to her mother-in-law to help her mother-in-law in depression is the ability for a wife to say and live these words to and for her husband. And even greater than that, more than that, is for a husband to be able to say and live these words for his wife. Entreat me to never leave you, to never turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and even more so, if anything but death parts you and me. Parts you and me. The institution of marriage, a very beautiful, wonderful institution that man just struggles at getting right. Those words within a household that is dealing with depression are absolute healing, if we could only live by those words. Naomi was in a depressive state without a husband or sons to say those words to her. Ruth and Orpah have every reason to be discouraged, to be depressed themselves, having lost their wonderful husbands, but Ruth has the strength to see beyond her obvious hurt, to put her arms fully around her mother-in-law. Ruth has this incredible ability to do that. There are two aspects of depression that we are examining as we go through this history of Naomi and Ruth. Number one, we are looking and observing simultaneously the instructions of God that he provides Naomi and Ruth as the depressed. And secondly, what we are also assessing is the instruction by God to those who are in a position to help those who are discouraged and depressed. The book of Ruth provides both. Both instructions for those who should be in a position to help, as well instruction for those who are going through the depths of the rains. Let's continue walking through this story to see what else can be gleaned. Point number four. In humility, be willing to accept the help provided. When we are discouraged and depressed, point number four, in humility, be willing to accept the help provided. Verse 18. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Let me read this out of the NIV. The NIV says, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She stopped pushing her back. She stopped saying, look, just go back to your mother. Leave me alone. I'll be fine. She finally resolved that, okay, she's going to come. Be willing to accept the help provided. Naomi settled in her heart to accept the graciousness of Ruth. But you also get a sense here that Naomi has given up on herself. She's given up on herself. She took her groanings to God. She got up to try to move forward. But emotionally, Naomi has sat back down. It may be hard and humbling when you have sat down, when you're going through the depths of depression, to accept the love of others. It can be hard. We may not feel worthy. We don't want to be a burden. We want to solve the problem on our own. Just me and you, Lord. Just leave me alone. But the Lord may be sending someone in his name to help you. That was the case in God sending Ruth to Naomi. For some remarkable reason, Ruth, this Moabite, has decided to give her all, to give all that she has to her Jewish mother-in-law. And I can sort of see here Naomi say, whatever. Whatever. I told you to go back to your mother. You're going to come. I don't care. Come on, whatever. Because she's down. She's depressed. Sometimes we can say that in the middle of our dealings. Whatever. I'm at the end of my road. You want to come, come. I told you to go back to mom. You don't want to go back. Fine. Come on. Verse 19. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? They were very much loved. But as we touched in part one of the series, you get the sense by the question of the women that they were not sure because of the appearance of Naomi. Her appearance. She went out wealthy. She went out healthy. She went out with her husband and two sons with money and riches. She went out with her wonderful husband, Elimelech. But now she is returning, likely looking very aged, poor, weak, unclean, lost a lot of weight, disheveled, her skin hanging off of her face. Emotionally, she has not sanctified herself. On top of that, she has not drawn close to God. She has emotionally sat back down. So what does Naomi say? Verse 20, but she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. Naomi is down. She has sat down. Naomi was so discouraged and depressed because of her tragic situation that she said, don't call me by my old name. Don't refer to me as pleasant. There's nothing pleasant about my life. There's nothing pleasant about my situation. I return home bitter. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. Don't underestimate the incredible depressive state that Naomi is in. She has suffered a devastating loss, the loss of her loving husband, the loss of her two sons. And this daughter-in-law, Ruth, is not making up the difference. It must have been wonderful, a wonderful future that she and her husband were looking forward to. It was probably looking forward to grandsons and granddaughters, the future of growing old with the man that she loved, working hard as a family to never be in want, able to come back at some point in time to Bethlehem, Judah, and say, here, you know, we've bought back riches. We've brought back wealth. We're here to help you all out through this famine. And instead, she comes back in total poverty, without her husband and without her sons. You see, depression, discouragement, despondency, distress, grieving is all real. It's very real. It's so real for Naomi that she said, don't call me by my name. Call me bitter. Clinical depression for Naomi? Yes. This is severe clinical depression. Deep clinical depression. She sat down and she cannot stand back up. She cannot stand back up. She needs someone to help her. And note that, like Joshua, Naomi, like us at times, has a tendency to blame it all on God. She blames it all on God 5 times in this passage. Ruth chapter 1 verse 13, she says, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Verse 20, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, the Lord has brought me home again empty. The Lord has testified against me. The Almighty has afflicted me. She blames it all on God 5 times. Naomi blames Jesus Christ. But again, this is interesting, if not significant, these 5 times. Now, I'm going to preface my comments by stating clearly that numbers do not have some inherent mystical powers in and of themselves. Numbers do not, which is what many sources that you read about numerology would want you to believe. Numbers by themselves have no intrinsic power or mystical powers, but there is significance in every word of God and in the context of Scripture regarding numbers. So Naomi, in the midst of tremendous depression, blames Jesus Christ 5 times for the state of her life. 5 times. She says, it's your fault, God. It's your fault, Christ. 5 times. Point number five, amid our groanings, try to remember and never, ever forget that God is gracious. Never, ever forget when you're going through problems, no matter how long they are, no matter how long they last, that God is gracious. This is out of biblicalnumerology.com. It says this, the number 5 is a symbol of God's grace. The number 5 is a symbol of God's grace. It is also one of the most widely mentioned words in God's word. It is also a number that symbolizes God's kindness and favor to humanity. God's grace symbolism was seen when Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and transform them into the amount enough to feed 5,000 people, Matthew 14, 17. The instruction given by God in order to build a tabernacle in the wilderness were all centered around the number 5. Everything was made out of 5 components, like 5 curtains, 5 pillars, 5 bars, etc. Also, there were five ingredients in the holy oil, which was needed to sanctify the tabernacle. God's presence is shown by the number five, his presence, his grace. The book of Psalms has five main chapters. There are five offerings to Israel provided by God in Leviticus. Moses wrote five books. The number shows God's plan and influence in humans, his grace and his presence. His grace and his presence. Jesus Christ begins to respond from this point forward with grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Naomi is depressed. She blames God five times directly for her state. God responds, Jesus Christ responds with grace. There's a lesson here. Numerology, call it what you want. There's a lesson here for us buried in this story. Grace. Professor David Johnson of Foundation Institute defines grace as, quote, the gift given by the giver without regard to the worthiness of the recipient. Jesus Christ could have turned around and said, Naomi, you have sat here in the middle of your depression and blamed me five times. I've had enough. But Jesus Christ responds with grace, with absolute grace. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Now here's Naomi in the midst of depression. She's taken her groanings to God. She's tried to get up. Now she sat back down. Ruth, the Moabitess, on the other hand, has gotten up. She has sanctified herself by moving closer to God. She said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She's moved closer to God and is determined to do something about the situation. She is not going to give up. She is not going to sit back down. She doesn't know what she's going to do, but she knows that she's not going to sit back down. Ruth. Remember, as we reviewed in part six, to sanctify oneself is to move closer to God. And when we move closer to God, God moves closer to us and extends his grace. Extends his grace. The two of them reached Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. At the beginning of the barley harvest. Is that just happenstance that they come home when there's an abundance to go around? They could have come home in the middle of winter when there is no food, where everybody's rationing. They could have come home in the middle of summer where it's so hot that you can't go out and glean. They come home in the middle of the barley harvest. Grace. Grace. Easton Bible Dictionary says this about barley. It says, barley, a grain much cultivated in Egypt and in Palestine. It was usually the food of horses. Barley bread was used by the poorer people. Barley was the first crop ready for the harvest time by the time of Passover. In the middle of April. They, by happenstance, come home at the time of the Passover. At the time of the Passover. Mentioned here is made of a barley meal. Our Lord, continuing here with Easton Bible Dictionary, our Lord fed 5,000 with five barley loaves and two small fish. Ruth and Naomi just happened to come home in the middle of the barley harvest. Are you kidding me? That's the grace of God that's involved. God's grace. His grace. Again, Jesus Christ is showing them and showing us how much he loves us and cares for us in the midst of our discouragement and in the midst of our depression. She's coming home at Passover, barley, the number 5, grace. Look what happens when Christ decides he's going to get involved. This is here for our gleaning. God is gracious. But the barley is not going to get up out of the field, walk to your front door, and automatically become bread for you to eat. It doesn't work that way. Through the grace of God, you then must do something. You then must do something. You cannot sit back down. You have to do something. Ruth. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, her husband. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please. Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please, let me do something. You see, the grace of God is involved in her life. She has gotten up. She wants to do something. Let me do something. Let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She happened to come to his field. Look, the whole place of Bethlehem is in the process of harvesting. Everybody's harvesting. There's fields all over the place. Filled with grain, this work is taking place all over the city. And she happened to come to Boaz's field. This is God's grace at work. This is God leading her, God working with her. She has gotten up and she realizes that she has to do something. Did she know Boaz? She didn't know Boaz. And Ruth gave her no direction to go to glean in Boaz's field. She just went out. This is the graciousness of God in action. And then we have our first lesson from Boaz. If we desire to be used by God to help those who are discouraged and depressed, point number 6, endeavor to be righteous. Endeavor to be righteous. If we want to be of use by God to help those who are discouraged and depressed or who are grieving, we ourselves must endeavor to be righteous. Not arrogant, not judgmental, not condemning, righteous and humble. We expect to help those who are going through discouragement and depression. Verse 4, Ruth chapter 2, verse 4. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered and said to him, the Lord bless you. And Boaz said to his servants who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Now, I tell you, over my 30 years going into my place of business, I never crossed my mind to ask them or to say to them, the Lord be with you. And I guarantee if I had said that to my workers, they wouldn't have come back, the Lord be with you too, or the Lord bless you. What kind of man was this? This is an incredible servant of God. He has the institution enough that his entire business operation is a godly business. Incredible individual. If we want to be used by God to help those who are discouraged, depressed, or grieving, we must endeavor to be righteous as Boaz is. Jesus Christ is involved. He led her to this man, Boaz. God can use anyone or anything to accomplish what he needs to accomplish in the life of his children. Raise up stones if he must. Talk through a donkey if he must. But it's wonderful when there are men and women of God, close to God, endeavoring to be righteous, who God can use as a tool. Jesus Christ does make clear, and you can jot down James 5, verse 15. Jesus Christ makes clear in James 5, verse 16, that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. All of us have the responsibility to be righteous individuals, every one of us. When we are endeavoring to be righteous, we're endeavoring to walk as God would want us to walk in great humility, then God can use us. God can use us. None of us know when God or how God might use us, might use our resources, might use our talents, our words to encourage someone who's in need. Our responsibility is always to be walking with the Lord as Boaz was. We want to be used by God. Verse 6. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." A lesson for the depressed. After groaning, after getting up, after drawing close to God, after God provides you the grace, find the wherewithal to do. Point number seven, find the wherewithal to do something. Find the wherewithal to do something to help yourself. You might know where to search. You may be out on the internet. You may talk to 100, 200 different people. But find the wherewithal to do something. Ruth had lost her husband, was living in a foreign land with her elderly mother-in-law. She has been reduced to poverty and gleaning in the field behind reapers. But if that was her lot, if that's all she could do, guess what? She said, let me do it to my best. If that's all the work that I can find to help myself and my mother-in-law, then that's what I will do. I'm going to do something to help the situation out. Is it easy to get up and do when you're discouraged and depressed? No, it's incredibly hard. It's one of the last things you want to do when you're discouraged and depressed is to get up and do anything. But that is what God's grace is for. That is what God calls on us to do. Through his grace to find the wherewithal to do something. Now, I cannot help but quote the words by Martin Luther King Jr. in 1967 at Berry Junior High School in Philadelphia, along with a portion of the poem by Douglas Mailock that he quoted from memory. This is what he says, quote, "If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper." And this was Ruth. It fell her lot to go out and glean. That's just the way it happened. Yeah, you can wish you had the money. Yeah, you wish you had the wealth. Yeah, I wish I was back over in Moab. Yes, I wish my husband was still alive. Yes, I wish my children were still alive. But unfortunately, this is my lot. So he says, if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera, sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry, sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth we'll have to pause and say, here lived a great sweet street sweeper who swept his job well. That is Ruth. This is all I can do is follow behind the reapers and sweep up what's left. I'm going to do my best. He goes on to quote this poem by Douglas Mailock. It says, if you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley. But be the best little scrub by the side of the rill. If you can't be a bush, be a tree. If you can't be a bush, be a bit of the grass and some highway happier make. If you can't be a muskie, then just be a bass, but be the liveliest bass in the lake. If you can't be a highway, then just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. That's Ruth. This is my lot. I'm going to be the best. She went to that field, and as the reaper said, she came and asked if she could follow after the reapers. She's been here from morning until night. She took a little bit of break at noon. Ruth got up and was willing to do with God's grace. Naomi, because the depth of her depression, had sat back down and needed someone else to help her to get up. Ruth came to that field having lost her husband, left her people, caring for her elderly mother-in-law. But through God's grace, she found the wherewithal to do what she could do. When we decide to do, even in the midst of discouragement and depression, the grace of God will help us do. Point number eight. When we get up, when we draw close to God and God provides us his grace to do, point number eight, God will provide us the direction and the instruction to help us to do. Point number eight, when we get up and draw close to God and God provides his grace for us to do, point number eight, God will provide us direction and instruction and help to do. We have to be patient and wait, but God will provide. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Because here's some instruction. Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men to not touch you? And when they are thirsty, and when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn. Verse 10, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done. The grace that she was putting forth was seen. The work that she was putting forth was seen. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Point number nine. When we are discouraged and we are depressed, we must know, and those helping us must know, that God, point number nine, God will in his time repay the work for those who come under his wings for refuge. God will in his time repay the work for those who come under his wings for refuge. Come under God's wings. Come under God's protection for refuge. God says he will repay. In his time, he will repay. We have to know that. If you are discouraged or working with and encouraging those who are depressed or discouraged, you must know that God will repay the work of those who come under his wings for refuge. But we have to come. You have to find the wherewithal to come under his wings. We must pray for the strength, the help, the encouragement, the direction, the instruction from God to do what God wants us to do, to come under his wings. We have to do so. Verse 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not one of your maidservants." Notice here that Ruth does not ask Boaz to do her work for her. She asks for grace. She asks for help. She asks Boaz to do something for her that she could not do for herself, so that she could do for herself and that she could do for Naomi. Beautiful aspect here. Verse 14. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Point number 10. When you are discouraged and depressed or grieving, point number 10, find the strength to pray for others and to do for others. When you are discouraged, when you are depressed, when you are grieving, find the strength through God's grace to pray for others and to do for others. She took care of herself, because if she did not take care of herself, she would not be of much use to Naomi. But in taking care of herself, she had the heart to keep some back for Naomi. And the grace of God was added to her blessing. Verse 15. And when she arose, and when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let grain fall from the bundles purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up, and she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought out, and she gave to her, and she kept back after she had been satisfied. Again, numerology here. But whatever it's worth, God's word provides the strength around the numbers. She uses the word "she." The word "she" is used here in verses 16 to 18 seven times. And it is inferred or used 10 times. 10 times. Seven times it's used directly. Three other times added to it, it's inferred, for a total of 10 times. Numerology, maybe. Significant, definitely. Seven is the number of completeness and wholeness. 10 is the number of perfection, harmony, and creation. At this point, Ruth is made whole. At this point, she's spiritually whole. She's spiritually whole. Why? Because she has gone through the cycle. She's gone through the cycle. She was depressed. She groaned. She took her groanings before God. She got up. She sanctified herself and moved close to God. God provided her grace. God provided her grace, and she went out and did. Not only for herself, but for others. Spiritually, she's made whole now. The grace of Jesus Christ is just going to add to the blessing now. Just going to add to the blessing. You see, at this point, she would be satisfied. If this is what life is, I'm good. I'm good. Notice the work and the doing of Ruth. She said she did the gleaning. Scripture said she did the gleaning. She did the gleaning. She did not ask someone else to pity her and to do what she could do for herself. She beat out what had been gleaned. She did not expect someone else to do for her what, again, she could do for herself. She beat out the gleaning. She took it up. She realized that if that blessing needed to make it home, she needed to carry the load. She had to carry the load. She went into the city. She had to find her way back to Naomi through places, through streets that were not over Boaz's purview. And she did so. And after she did so, and she received the strength, she also did what she could do for her mother-in-law, Naomi. Verse 19, and her mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work?" Point number 11. Coming out of depression requires work. It requires work. There's no other way to put it than it requires work. It requires work. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you work?" Naomi asked Ruth, "Where did you work?" It's not easy when you are depressed, when you are down, to find the strength through the grace of God to work. But God will provide through his grace the ability for you to do what is necessary to move forward, and it requires work. Goes on to say here in verse 19, "Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." Again, numerology, call it what you want. Work is used here in verse 19 three times. Three in the Bible points to reproduction, it points to growth, and it points to wholeness. Three in the Bible points to reproduction, it points to growth, and it points to wholeness. Very similar to the number seven, but on a smaller scale. But it points to reproduction, it points to growth, and it points to wholeness. Work, work, work. What does work do? Work reproduces. What does work do? Work brings growth. What does work do? Work helps one who is depressed to feel whole. To feel whole. When you get up, when you draw close to God, when God provides you his grace, and you endeavor to work and do for yourself and desire to do for others, the grace of God will come and give you the strength to do so. It will. And then through your example and working through discouragement and depression, point number 12. When you work and you do the work that's necessary, through God's grace, through God's strength, to work through discouragement and depression, point number 12, others can see the blessing of the Lord and find relief from their own discouragement and depression. Others can see the blessings of the Lord in you and find relief from their own discouragement and depression. This is what happens through Ruth to Naomi. Naomi is still depressed. Naomi is still down. But because Ruth has gone through this process, she'll be able to see and find relief from her own discouragement and depression. Verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord." This is the first time that Naomi engages the name of the Lord in a positive sense. When we left off with Naomi, she had blamed God five times. because of the wonderful example of Ruth, she is now coming around to sense the grace of God. Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Naomi could not see this except for the example and the work of Ruth, because Ruth got up, drew close to God, found the wherewithal to do through God's grace, and had the desire to do for Naomi. Naomi's eyes, her heart, can once again see the grace of God. And Naomi said to her, the latter part of verse 20, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Suddenly she's engaged. Naomi is re-engaged. She's reinvigorated. She sees God's grace now because of Ruth. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, now, see, Naomi is engaged now. Now she's given instruction. She's a part of the process now. She has come up out of it, coming up out of her grief. She has stood back up. And now she's moving closer to God. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with the young men and that the people do not meet you in any other field." Now she's locked in. How is she coming to this realization? Because now Naomi is close to God, and God can feed her with his grace. Now godly instructions are falling from her lips. Verse 23. "So she stayed close by the young men of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest." She started at Passover. Now she's at the last great day. She harvested all during that period. Now she's at the last great day. Started at the barley harvest, ending up at the wheat harvest. What a blessing. All the way through the cycle. And she dwelt with her mother-in-law, Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" See, Naomi is engaged. This is such a beautiful story. Naomi is now engaged. Naomi now is looking for ways to take the grace and the blessing of God and apply them to her daughter-in-law. At first, she said, "Whatever. You want to come? Whatever. I told you to go back to your mother. You want to come this way? Come." But now she said, "Look, I need to be concerned about your security, daughter." Naomi has come up out of her depression. "That it may be well with you." Verse 2. "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with," this is her giving instruction, "is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Naomi is engaged now. "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." She got some wisdom going on here. Let the man eat. Let him get something to drink, then you go and approach him, right? She is engaged now. Naomi has waken up out of her depression. God is working with her now. She's taking her daughter and say, "Come on, sister, we're going to work this out. With God's help, it's going to be all right." Verse 4, "Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." How does she know that? How did Naomi know that? Because now she has moved close to God. She has come out of her depression. She has stood up and she is now close to God, and God is feeding her. God is enlightening her. Verse 5, "And she said to her, 'All that you said to me, I will do.'" Naomi is fully engaged. Naomi has gotten up, sanctified herself by drawing close to God. Naomi is now doing what she could do. What is amazing here is that if Naomi had been able, and she wasn't able in the beginning when they came first to Bethlehem, Judah, to be engaged. She was down. She was depressed. She couldn't get up. But if she had been able to see God when they first came to Judah, Bethlehem, through her depression, if she could have been able to see God, she may have been able to go right from the beginning and say, "Come on, daughter, take my hand. Look, we have a close relative of Elimelech here. The man got money. He's a man of God. Let's go over to him and see what he can do for us. But because of her depression, she wasn't able to do that. That's why we have to keep our senses open to God. She wasn't able to do that at that time. Maybe Naomi thought, even if Boaz came to her mind, not knowing her situation, maybe she thought that Boaz should just immediately come to her aid. He knows I'm poor. He knows what condition that I'm in. Why didn't he just come on over here? I'm not going to go ask him. Sometimes that can be us when we're depressed. It's understandable. But God calls on those who are discouraged and depressed to move forward, whether someone comes to your aid or not. Christ will come to your aid. We don't know how God will work things out either. We just must pray for the strength to follow God's guidance and his instruction to move forward even when we're down. Now that Naomi has drawn herself back to God and gotten up to do what she needed to do with Ruth's help to get up, now the bright lights of possibilities are all around her. Naomi's mind is engaged. She sees God's hand. She's working things out. Continue here in verse 6. So she, Ruth, went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law, Naomi, had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Verse 8, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" So she said, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Then he says, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter." God is engaged. Jesus Christ is all over this. "For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." This Moabitess woman has a reputation of virtuosity, of godliness, of righteousness, even in the midst of her depression. "Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." Verse 14. So she lay down at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Also he said, "Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 ephah of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Naomi is now totally engaged. And Naomi is also looking for refuge under the wings of the Almighty. They both are now looking for refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Verse 18. So she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how this matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Naomi is clearly under the wings of God. She's come through grace. She's looking, her eyes are on God now. She's out of her depression. Still don't know how this is going to work out. But she tells her daughter, "Let's be patient. wait for God. So point number 13 is this. Point number 13, while doing all that you can do under the wings of the Almighty, point number 13, wait patiently for God's deliverance. While you are doing all that you can do under the wings of the Almighty, when you are depressed, when you're discouraged, when you come out of that, wait patiently for God's deliverance. For God's deliverance. Wait patiently for God's deliverance. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative whom Boaz had spoken came by. Again, just happenstance. The next day he's sitting at the gate, this big city, and the close relative just happens to walk by. This is God at work. This is the grace of God at work. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, and sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. Verse 2. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. What an honest man. A righteous man. You see God's hand all over this. And he said to him, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself. I cannot redeem it. Verse 7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Verse 8. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witness this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. Verse 11. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah and the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, because the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. God's hand is all over this. The elders know that God's hand is all over this. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. The example of Ruth and the example of Boaz became a great testament to all the people, to everyone. But it was an even greater testament to Naomi. To Naomi, who in her depression had lost faith in the gracious hand of God. She had lost faith in the gracious hand of God, but because of Ruth and because of Boaz drawing close to God, Naomi is now in fellowship with Jesus Christ as well. And her depression is addressed in a phenomenal way. Point 14. Follow God And God will lift you out of your discouragement and depression in his way and in his time. Follow God. Stick close to God, and God will lift you out of your discouragement and depression in his way and in his time. Don't give up. Don't give up. Draw close to God. Follow him. Come under the wings of the Almighty. If you have sat back down, realize you have to get up through God's grace. Ask him for the strength. Ask him for the help. Ask him to come across that article on the internet, or that article off of Life, Hope, and Truth, or that minister to say the right things to help me to get up, to move back into the graces of the Almighty under his wings. Follow God, and God will lift you up out of your discouragement and depression in his way and in his time. And he does so in a powerful way for Naomi. Look at verse 14. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord God, who has not left you." The Lord God, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She is without a name. And God has stepped in. The gracious hand of God. She started off saying five times, "Lord, it's your fault." God responded to her with grace overwhelming. Has not left you without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom. What was that like? To have gone through this and then to have the child lay upon her breast. Can you imagine the tears? Can you imagine the chills? Can you imagine her mind saying, "This is unbelievable. I was down. I was out. I have given up. I told this woman, whatever." And she has borne a child. And she loves me. And she lets me, as it says here, she became a nurse to him. Didn't have to go out and find a babysitter. Didn't have to figure out, you know, let me interview this person, interview that person. No, she said, I'm here. I'm blessed to be alive. To be a nurse to this child, to raise this child up. What a blessing. Verse 17, and also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. Obed means worshiper. Worshiper. At the very least, when you go through depression, the thing that you must never, ever stop doing is praying to our Almighty God in heaven and worshiping him. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, don't stop worshiping God. Called his name Obed, worshiper. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Verse 18, now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot the worshiper Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David. Through David's life, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What wonderful history has been preserved for us as instruction, correction, strength, encouragement when we are suffering, when we are depressed, when we are grieving, or when we are those reaching out to help those who are discouraged, depressed, or grieving. The gracious hand of Jesus Christ at work in the lives of his children, at work in the lives of Ruth, at work in the lives of Boaz, at work in the life of Naomi. We must do our part. We must do our best. God will do the rest. Next time, discouragement, part 8.